Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Power and character. Reviver with power and no character is not sustainable. It lacks integrity. Seriously, revival with power and character, without character, is not sustainable. Something that I say to my location, Pneuma Bangkok, is this. I say, guys, we are all for revival. We love revival service. I have no issue. Every Sunday, we have a power encounter. Everyone rolling on the carpet, holy laughter. No problem with that, because that is the manifestation of the presence of God. But I told the family in Bangkok, if the revival stays within this room, we miss the point.
Yeah, wow.
99% who don't know Jesus in Thailand, if the revival doesn't hit that 99%, we have failed.
That's right.
We become, this will result in revival obesity. Do you know what's revival of obesity? God, feed me, till we are so obese that the seat can't even hold you.
Wow.
So imagine for me, for Pneuma Bangkok, if we say, God, feed me, but what about the 99% who don't know Jesus? And the Bible says that, if we become, if a church carries a spirit of revival obesity, it's called bad stewardship of revival.
Wow.
And the Bible says that when there's bad stewardship, the master will come and will take that away.
Yeah, wow.
So I don't want to lose that spirit of revival. So whatever happened in this room, every week, we believe in power encounter, but it must leave this room.
Yeah,
it must reach the suburbs in the west of Melbourne. Amen.
Amen.
Because we see a lot of example with power but no character.
Yeah,
power and no character. For example, in the Bible, Samson, mighty man of God with incredible strength, called to lead Israel. I mean, he, strong man, you know, lead the people of God, but he lacks the character. He lacks the character. He didn't finish well. But we look at David, man after God's heart, even though he sinned against God, but he repented. And God says that you are a man after my own heart, power with character. And Jesus, who's a perfect theology, the perfect man who walks this earth, he set the example for us. Jesus moved in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, Jesus performed his miracle not as God, but as man. As men, which means we stand a chance.
Come on. That's great.
And even say that we can do the work he's been doing.
Yeah.
And even greater works than this.
Right.
Okay, so Jesus performed his miracle as a man, but he was empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he has the perfect character of his Father.
Right.
If you have seen him, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is an example of power plus character, all in one. Two in one, not one or the other, power and character. He loves, he laid down his life.
Yeah.
So can we be a church that demonstrate power and character to the cities and to the nation? A spirit-empowered life is one that reflects the character of Jesus.
That's right, so good.
It has to reflect Jesus. Because I believe power is a gift from God, but character is your gift to God.
Wow.
I'll say that one more time. Ooh, this one. Yeah. You just got to take down this point and you can forget the rest of the sermon. This is the one that's going to stick. Power is a gift from God and character is your gift to God.
Right.
See, God has called us to do the impossible. It is impossible to cast out the demons. You know, I can kick the person, but the demon will not come out. I mean, in Thailand, everyone worships spirits, all kinds of spirits. You know, it's so easy for us to evangelize in Thailand because everyone believes in the spirits and get really spooky. They go to fortune teller. So I tell the church, you know, invite your friends. If they want fortune telling, come here. We have prophets here, can prophesy over them. But we can't do it on our own. We need the power of God. The power of God, because it is mission impossible. Even Tom Cruise can't do it. Because he's not savior. If he genuinely gets saved, maybe he stands a chance to do the mission impossible. So in the natural, it's not possible for us to preach the gospel of the kingdom with power. Yeah. Okay, which is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The power, the gift, the gift. This is a gift, it's a grace from God. Power is a gift from the Holy Spirit, but your character is a fruit of the Spirit. Your character is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It is. But here, this is a scary part, you know, especially for us as pastor, even Christian, it is possible to move in a power with no character. It is possible. It is so scary. It is possible to move in the power of the Holy Spirit without the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Ask Samson. He did that.
Yeah, wow.
And there are many more characters in the Bible who did that. Power but no character. Apostle Paul said this, you know, we can speak in tongue, but if you're not love, you're just making noise. If you have power encounter with no, sorry, if you have the power encounter, you know, without any love, you're just a noisy church.
Yeah,
and we are not a noisy church.
Come on.
You know, we are not a noisy church. You know, we got to represent Jesus really, really well. And Paul says that you can have prophetic power and the faith to move mountain, but if you have not love, it means nothing. Yeah. It means nothing. We can prophesy as much as we want, but if we fail to love like the way Jesus loved the church, it means nothing. So power and encounter is so, sorry, power and character is so important. And because I believe the gift of the Spirit can be instant. It can be instant. So say if I need to pray for Pastor Dave, God can give me the gift of healing instantly to pray for him and he can get healed. But the fruit of the Spirit is gradually developed over time.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
When the believers abide in Jesus and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in his or her life, it takes time.
Yeah.
Just like a fruit tree, you can't expect the apple fruit to come out straight away the moment you plant it. It takes time.
Yeah.
In the right culture, in the right environment.
So true.
Unfortunately, there's no shortcut, friends. Sorry I disappoint you, there's no shortcut. I can't give you the red pill or the blue pill. There is no shortcut, but as a pastor, I wish God has given us a shortcut because it makes my life so much easier. If we can just give them the blue pill or the red pill, done. Save us the headaches, the heartaches. Right, Pastor Dave? See, the formation of your character to be like Jesus is your gift to God.
Yeah.
It is a living sacrifice.
Yep.
Living sacrifice. Character is shaped through dying to yourself.
Yeah.
Dying to yourself. See, Jesus was fully man when he walked this earth. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit for his ministry. And he's the exact imprint of his father. But Jesus faced temptation just like us. Because we read in the Bible, Jesus was led to the wilderness and was tempted. But he didn't give in to the desire of the flesh. He overcame temptation. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew that the end is about to come. And this is what he said. He prayed to the Father, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, let your will be done." You know, Jesus, he had to die to himself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. You know, Jesus had to die to his desire, his flesh, his desire, and surrender himself to the will of his Father. You know, Jesus said that unless a kernel of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. So we're ready to die. Apostle Paul said this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, when you become a Christian, the Bible says the old's gone, the new has come. But that doesn't mean God take away all the desire. You know, we are still living in our humanity. God don't just rip out, you know, that lustful desire. God doesn't just rip out the pride. But God gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, in our new identity as sons and daughters. So when you are new creation, what it means that your sins are forgiven. You are no longer under the bondage of sin. So you have been set free as a child of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in you to live a spirit-empowered life. But we have to die to ourselves. To die to ourselves and to live this new life, to me, is very simple. Just get out of the way. So learning to get out of the way so that the Jesus can have his way in your life. And to get out of the way is simply to die to yourself. For the Holy Spirit to work in your life, we need to give him the room. I mean, if your room is all cluttered up and you want to bring in new furniture, what do you have to do? Clear out the rubbish. We got to clear out the rubbish. If you want to carry that spirit of revival to disciple cities and nation, if in your heart you're carrying so much rubbish, how is God going to fill you with that spirit of revival? So perhaps it is time to die to ourselves, our pride, our selfishness, our addiction. It is time to pick up the cross and walk with Jesus. Sorry to say this to you, there's no other option. If you choose to be a follower of Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and walk with Jesus. Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is a person. It's a person. Interestingly, you know, in Bangkok, every time when we have non-believers coming to church for the first time, they will say, oh, I feel the positive vibes and the energy. The positive energy. And I'll say that in my mind, I'll say that now there's no such thing as positive energy in this room. There's only the presence of God and that he is a person. Your starting point is that you have to remember and acknowledge that the presence of God is a person. He is a person. He's not some kind of energy that make you feel good on Sunday. It is a person that you encounter during worship. That is the presence, the big P, the presence. Because God is a triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not three different gods. I have to explain that in Thailand because Thailand, they love to collect gods. So when we get someone safe in Thailand, we make sure that they don't add Jesus to their collection. So we got to teach them the doctrine of the Trinity. It's one God, three persons with distinct characteristics, but it is one God. Every one of them is fully God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. It's a person. And you know what's the scary part that he's a person? You know, Jesus said that when he leaves, he will give you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, yeah? He promised that. That is God's grace. And he said that the Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. Okay, so imagine if your heart is like a house and the Holy Spirit is going to live in your house forever. So imagine, Pastor Dave, I invite you to live in my house forever. I don't clean up my house. I haven't washed my toilet for a couple of years. Make yourself at home. Come live in my house, but the doors are all shut and you can't leave. You can't leave. I can grieve you. I can make you sad. And it's because of God's grace that he's not going to leave. So can you imagine, will you invite your best friend to your house and you have not washed your toilets for a few years, you have not washed the bed sheet for a few years, and there are bugs crawling around the bed? Do you think your friend's going to feel comfortable? Wow. You've got to grieve your friend. And the Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Wow.
And we... And I can guarantee you that if your friend were to live in that environment, it restricts his freedom to express himself.
Yeah, wow.
That's good.
He is a person. He's a person. How are you making him feel in your life? He lives in here. Does he have the freedom to express himself? So maybe the keys to signs and wonders is not complicated. It's not about the formula in prayer. Because the moment that we can clean up our heart, you give the presence of God the freedom of expression.
Yeah, that's great.
In your life. And signs and wonders will follow. So take care of your heart. It is time to die for yourself. And I believe that the power and character are manifested by walking in his presence. We have to walk in his presence. Without the presence of God in your life, you can forget about power and character. It is impossible. It is impossible to love someone without the power of God. Because power and character is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And his presence is accessed through walking in intimacy and relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he is a person. To access the power, the character of that person is through a relationship. So how do you develop a relationship? Not through Facebook and Instagram. Because the last time I checked, Holy Spirit doesn't have a Facebook account. And no Insta account. It is through intimacy and relationship.
That's great.
To develop Christ-like character, you have to spend time with Jesus. You've got to spend time in the presence of God. And to spend time with the presence of God is actually very, very simple. Agree?
Yeah.
Wow, so many people agree. That's good. To me, to grow in the intimacy with God, three things that I do every day, and I repeat them forever. I'll try to repeat them every day. I worship, I read the Bible, I pray. I worship, I read the Bible, I pray. You know, sometimes to be good at something is going through the boring strokes again and again. You know, as a professional athlete, a swimmer, they ensure they get the basic strokes right. Whenever in Thailand, when someone come up to me and say, "Pastor, how do you hear from God? How do you hear from God?" And I will ask them this question: how often do you read the Bible?
Wow.
Yeah. I believe some of us can hear the audible voice of God, but not for me. I've not heard the audible voice of God. But this is the Word of God. So which means all of us can hear from God.
Yeah, come on.
So which means God speaks to every Christian on planet Earth through the Bible.
Come on.
So how do you hear from God? So I'll ask you, how often do you read the Bible?
Yeah.
If you don't read the Bible often, how do you hear from God? Pray, how often do you pray? Prayer, you know, prayer is not giving God your wish list. It's the relationship. It is talking to God. And I listen to God through prayer as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes praying is just to shut up.
Yeah.
Just zip it.
Yeah, it's good. Come on.
I say this to Newman Bangkok every time. I say, don't do a McDonald's or a Hungry Jack prayer. That you drive through every morning. The sausage McMuffin, please. And you leave. Oh. Don't do the drive-thru prayer, because Jesus deserves more than that.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus wants our devotion.
Yeah.
You know, just soaking in the presence of God. If you're not done it before. Start with 15 minutes. It is that simple. I mean, in life, it's very simple, isn't it? We wake up, we eat, and maybe we let the crap out. And then we sleep. And when I wake up the next day, I find that I do go through the same rhythm again. I wake up, I eat, I release, I sleep. The next day, same thing again. Somehow, I just do the same thing. It's become a habit and a rhythm. And the thing is that, you know, as I sleep well, I rest well, I get healthy. And when I feed myself well with the right food, I become healthy. And I release well. Obviously, I need to release well. And then I rest well. So if I read, sorry, if I worship, I read, I pray, I worship, I read, I pray, and maybe I miss 1 day, 2 days, that's fine. I'll try again. I'll worship, I read, I'll pray. Try do that for the rest of your life. I can guarantee you, you will become like Jesus. Okay? If you don't, I'll refund you the money that you used to buy the Bible. Money back guarantee. Better than Kurong. Because it works for me, it will work for you. It works for me. We learn to honor His presence.
Yeah, come on.
You know, as a church, we've been on this journey. It's been a crazy journey. After last year, the Super Bowl Sunday. Do you know what I'm talking about, the Super Bowl Sunday? Something's happening in the life of Neuma. Sometimes I find it so hard to articulate with words. I still remember that Sunday, we were here. And me and Lucas, we were here. I missed the Super Bowl Sunday. We were here on that Sunday last year in August. And we were planning to go to the 5 p.m. service in city. And I arrived there at 4:45. I walked into Richmond. Where are the ushers and the connection team? There's no one welcoming me. What's going on here? And when I walk into the auditorium, what's happening? Everyone's on the floor. Did I miss something? Revival broke out last year. You know, God has marked this house to host His presence. To learn to host His presence. So since August last year, I went back to Bangkok, and you know, I battle with this spirit of FOMO, yeah. The spirit of fear of missing out. Wow. You know, saying what's happening in Melbourne, and I'm here in Bangkok. God, is that going to happen? But you know what? God took me on a journey to learn to honor His presence, not in meetings,
Come on.
But in my bedroom. During my devotion time, because you don't need the speakers. You know, Pastor Dave don't have to buy the Revival smoke machine. When I moved after Revival last year, I was so tempted to buy the Revival smoke machine to smoke up the auditorium in Bangkok so it feels like heaven, feels like Revival. Now, learn to honor the presence of God in your lounge room, in your bedroom. If you can encounter God in your own secret space, that's going to change you. It will change you. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you a formula. I'm also experimenting myself because it's not like 1 + 1 = 2. Because when come to the presence of God, I think sometimes words cannot explain. You know, that presence of God, learning to host the presence of God. Moses encountered the presence of God, and something that really, really, really hit me is the story in the book of Exodus chapter 33. You know, after Israel worshipped the golden calf, God was so angry, and God said this to Moses, "I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. So what God says to Moses is this: I will send my angels to clear out the lands of the enemy, and you guys go take possession of the land, but I'm not coming with you. You know what Moses said? Moses said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up. It blew my mind. God gave them an offer. I will take out the enemy. I'll give you the land of milk and honey, but I will not go with you. Moses said, no, no, no. I'll rather go with your presence to face the enemy than take the promised land without your presence. So I feel, when I read this verse, it's like God asking me, would you want a church of 10,000 without my presence? Or would you want a church of 10 with my presence? Which will you choose, Elvin? Which will you choose? You know, sometimes it's tempting. Oh, 10,000. 10,000 can create a revival vibes. But it is the presence of God that builds the house. It's the presence of God that builds the house. So learn to honor and host the presence of God. And I believe that character is shaped through your faithfulness with the little things in life. Yeah. With the little things in life. How much time I have, Pastor Dave? Take as long as I want. You know, it's been a while I preach without a translator. You know, it's always a start-stop when I preach in Bangkok. You know, one sentence and then the translator will translate. So my sermon is only like 50% usually. So, but today I prepared 20 pages.
Come on.
Well, let's see what God wants to do. Because it is, you know, it's the presence of God that's speaking to all of us. Yeah. So maybe I'll get a worship team up to join me. Because you need to create that revival vibes now. Yeah. But honestly, you know, I just want to honor all the worship team. Because I believe that the music empowers the prophetic. You know, the music empower the prophetic. When God called people like Hayden, carries that anointing, it shifts the atmosphere. Yeah, right. Okay, because some of us here has been graced by God to shift atmosphere. We have the authority, you know, not just over this room, but over the cities as well, as you sing, as you declare. So character is shaped through your faithfulness with the little things in life. Because character is not made in crisis or major event. Because crisis and major events in your life, it just reveals your character. Yeah. It doesn't shape your character, it reveals your character. It is God that shapes your character. It is the way that you react to crisis in your life that shapes your character. See, the little actions and attitudes of everyday life shape your character. The small little things in life, when it adds up over time, it becomes your character. Rome wasn't built in a day. Your character doesn't fall in a day. So whenever you hear men of God with moral failures, I believe that Rome wasn't built in a day. A character wasn't built in a day. It is the little things that we allow into our hearts over time that shapes your character. So it's either becoming more like Jesus or you are not becoming more like Jesus. There's only two ways.
Yeah, come on.
And I believe that Pneuma Church, we are called to become more and more like Jesus. King David, a man after God's heart. You know, I'm always blown away by David. Pastor David as well. King David, a man after God's heart, who is faithful with the little things. I assume most of us familiar with the story of David. You know, when the prophet Samuel came and anointed him, he was probably 15 years old. You're going to be the next king of Israel. So can you imagine if someone comes up to you and say, you're going to be the next prime minister of this nation. I guarantee you, you'll walk in your office the next day. Hey, I'm going to be a leader of this nation. But you know, the next day, David was back, was out in a pasture looking after dumb sheep. Can you imagine he got to walk with that humility? God, you say that I'm going to be the next king of Israel. But here I am looking after the dumb sheep while my brothers are serving in King Saul's army, doing the glamorous job. You know, I'm just stacking up chairs while that guy gets to lead the worship on the platform. Sorry, I'm not talking about you, Hayden. Talking about that, Hayden, I just feel that, you know, God has graced you with this anointing and you need to start singing over the city. Over the western suburb to really break the atmosphere, because as you break the atmosphere, I feel that it's like the wave and Pastor Dave can jump on the surfboard and he will surf with the ease. But David was faithful in serving his father, and David didn't go chasing giants. How he encountered a giant is through the day-to-day faithfulness. His father said that, can you send these cheese sandwiches to your brothers who's doing the glamorous job? You know, it's just like me asking one of you, hey, do you mind serving the worship leader, serving your pastor? Bring him food. David was so faithful and led him to his destiny as a giant slayer. As the giant slayer. To be a revivalist, you need both power and character. Do not neglect that character. You know, very much we want a power encounter, but it's equally important we want a character of Jesus, because the western suburb needs to see Jesus. Yes, we want them to encounter miracles, but miracles reveals the heart of the Father. If your miracle doesn't reveal the character of Christ, we miss the point. We missed it. Power and character. Someone once said, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what other things about you. I mean, we all wrestle with that, what others think about me. But if you focus on your character, that is who you really are. And my only audience is Jesus. So can I be vulnerable and transparent to you? You know, being a location pastor, I struggle as well. I mean, Pastor Dave as well. You know, struggle with that whole, the fear, the insecurity, what will others think about me? You know, if I decide to paint the building blue, what were those who love pink, what would they think about me? You know, but I learned that my only audience is Jesus. You know, every day I have to remind myself, my only audience is Jesus. Therefore, I will live my whole entire life to shape a character to become more like Jesus day by day, so that I can lead Newman Bangkok out of the overflow of my character, not out of my gift. Not out of my gift. Because there's not, to be honest, God is never impressed with my preaching gift. You know why? Because He's the one that gave me the gift. So what's the point of impressing Him with my leadership gift, my preaching gift? But God is impressed when my character becomes more like His Son. That impresses God, because it's a gift. It's a living sacrifice. It's an offering that I bring to the altar. You know, to die to myself. That is normal Christianity. Because character is a foundation. The deeper you go, God can build higher. You know, it is not what's above the water that sinks the Titanic. It is the iceberg beneath. What's in your heart right now? You know, I'm not condemning you, because Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came to set you free. But if you want to carry the presence of God well, to represent Jesus well, then you have to take care of your heart. You need to deny yourself. You need to die to yourself and allow God to fill you with His presence and to walk with Him. You know, I shared my story earlier. You know, I lived out here for 8 years. Lived 20 years in Melbourne before I moved to Bangkok. So stepping into this room, you know, triggered some memories during my time in the West. See, be honest, this is the first time I'm preaching out, you know, at a Newman location, other than Bangkok, obviously. And coming back here to the West, you know, invoke some memories and some marking in my life that I learned that shaped the person I am today. So in the year 2008, you know, I received prophetic words. See, I've always been involved in church life, planted in the house of God, you know, as a leader, leading in the house of God. When I got saved in the year 2001, God put a desire in my heart that I'm going into full-time ministry to pastor a church. That was in 2001. I officially became a pastor in 2021. So that's 20 years. Well, at least better than Moses, 40 years. Imagine 40 years leading a location. So I feel a call for ministry, you know. A year later, I got to preach my first sermon in front of a few hundred people. You know, I thought I had it. Come on. Say, God, that is what you've called me to do. You know, my head grew so big, it was bigger than my NIV study Bible. You know, I had one of those I bought from Kurong, you know, the NIV study, but the live application one. Man, that one is like a brick. Pride got into me. You know, always feel called for ministry. So in the year 2008, I received prophetic words that God is going to open up the doors for you into nations. The prophet gave me a country. Okay, it resonated in my heart, the region. He gave me the country Myanmar, which is next to Thailand. You know, they prophesy in part, they know in part. Yeah, wow. Just miss it by a few kilometers. I said that God is going to give you the finance, going to open the doors for you into nation. I said, come on, let's do it. God, when? You know, that year, God began to stir my heart for the continent of Asia, because I know that someday I'm going to be back there preaching the gospel. The desire of my heart, but my character wasn't ready to carry the anointing. But you know what? As a young man, as a young leader, by the way, I'm still young. I know I look 18, but I'm not 18. As a young leader, plenty of zeal, but no wisdom. You know, I try to accelerate the prophecy. You know, how many of you have done that? You try to force the doors open. You try to force the door open. You know, every scripture you read, you seem to be able to back it up. God spoke to me. I played the God card. You know, play the God card. God spoke to me. I should do this. I should do that. So I did something really, really silly. So in the year 2011, I think, I decided to quit my job. You know, because I heard of stories, you know, men and women of God starting business and the income starts flowing in and it released them for mission work. So I said, hey, God, that sounds like a great idea. So I tried to open the door. I quit my job. I went into business thinking that, you know, I can make plenty of money to serve God. The intention was right, but there was no wisdom at all. And guess what? Within a year, the business went pear-shaped. You know, I lost more than $100,000. You know, I was living out in Point Cook at that time. I was really angry with God. I said, God, I've served you my whole life. How can you allow this to happen? And I almost lost my house as well. And I got three kids. Do I have three kids at that time? Yeah, I got three. No, two kids. Two kids at my side. I got two kids at that time. Was so, so, so angry with God. You know, for 18 months, stopped serving. I lost a lot of money, so I stopped paying my tithe. But God, why should I give it to you? I've lost everything. So bitter and so angry, I'll be sitting at the back row like a sour plum. See, the anointing can't even get through. And we relocate to the eastern suburbs in 2013. And I remember on one Sunday in church, the pastor was preaching from the book of Revelation. You have forsaken your first love. you have forsaken your first love. And I say, God, I had enough of being angry with you. 18 months, it's time that I come back to the first love. Came back to the first love. And I remember I was with Pastor Andrew Megan, Freedom Revolution Church, went to Cambodia with them on a mission trip. And in the hotel room that night, I had an encounter with God. You know, and God just broke me and said that, now, Elvin, you are ready to serve me. See, when God has called you to something, that calling doesn't leave you. Even if you turn away from God, the calling is still in you. So I came back to Jesus, my first love. And God took us to Numa Church in 2016 and to Numa, Bangkok, and now leading the location in Bangkok. And Pastor Corey has asked me to oversee all Asia's church plant in Asia. But if Pastor Corey was to ask me to take on this role 3-4 years ago, I wouldn't have done it, because my character wasn't formed. So if you want to go high for God, He got to cut you really, really deep. You know, some of you here, I believe God has called you to serve Him full time, to preach the gospel. But you got to be faithful with the small little things. Because I believe that diamonds are formed under great pressure and heat. See, diamond don't just appear as diamond. You know, it's covered with dirt. But under great pressure and heat, under this condition, the diamond is formed. God sees diamond in every one of you. Everyone, God saw the diamond in me, even though when I'm covered with dirt, but He saw the diamonds. But He needs to bring the refining fire. The fire to burn the crap out of you. He burned the crap out of me. He's still burning the crap out of me. The refiner's fire. So when He sees a lack of character, He sends a refiner's fire. Now be careful what you're saying. Refiner's fire. We're called to be holy. Because without a refiner's fire, there is no character. Fire represents power and character. If you want a fire of God in your life, you better embrace for both power and character. Not one or the other. I believe God wants to shape all of us into diamonds. To represent Him well.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.